Yesterday, we sketched out a little bit about some interesting components of Pidyon HaBen and what is its relevance in our sugya. And we focused specifically on the idea that we're interested in Maseches Kiddushin in addressing not everything about Pidyon HaBen, but particularly the relationship of the father and the mitzvah. And we noted that it seems like that's what the Gemara is interested in. Specifically in Pidyon HaBen as the father's mitzvah, why is it not the mother's mitzvah? By the way, I don't know if we didn't point this out, I didn't call this to your attention, but you notice, for example, there's an interesting Tosfos over here on the subject of the mother's mitzvah. Tosfos raises the question that when the Gemara has the line, V'ihi minolon de l'machayv l'mifrik nafsha d'chsiv tifdep, V'im tomar tepik l'mishun d'chsiv kol v'chor banecha tifdep. So doesn't that already tell you that the Torah is pretty clear that the firstborn of your sons is the one that should be redeemed? So therefore it doesn't apply to daughters. D'mashma banecha v'lo b'nosecha. It seems like it's talking about sons specifically. So here Tosfos says an interesting habamina, v'yesh loma d'slakadaitech b'chor banecha ad chayv liftos v'lo mekeva. Yeah, taka, father is only responsible to do a pidyon on his sons. Aval hanekeva tifta atzma. But maybe in a chanami, a daughter has her own chiv. So therefore we need a pasuk to tell us that no, women are not chayavos in this mitzvah at all, which is a very interesting distinction. Again, it's hard to know how much to put it to havamin is, because it's not doesn't apply l'maisa, but Tosfos' suggestion that there could have been some logic to that is something interesting to ponder. Jonah.
Jewish women with Iranian descent actually fast on Erev Pesach.
Okay. Like, so, yeah, as a din of Bechor, you were saying.
Yeah.
So it's a good question, Bechlal, how much, and that's something that's discussed, how much, if you want to make things timely, so how much to discuss Bechor for Makos Bechor's purposes and hence for Pesach purposes, and the idea of Pidyon HaBen, there is some connection in some svar. Maybe we'll come back to that point, you know, maybe especially to make things timely, right? Yeah, it could be. Maybe we'll highlight that. It's an interesting point to explore. It's not an obvious point, but it's something we can come back to. So, in any event, so that this Tosfos is interesting. This idea that there could have been such a happening is something to think about. So, we highlighted how various dinim that the Gemara follows up on here in our sugya could all be seen within the prism of specifically trying to understand how the father's chiyuv is involved and what would happen if there is a clash between the father's chiyuv towards himself and the father's chiyuv towards his son. And ending off with a point of just highlighting which parent is the parent who defines things, that it's really the mother who defines things even though it's the father's chiyuv, and therefore Gemara has to establish that if a man has five wives and they all have bechoras, that he has to do Pidyon HaBen five times. I've personally never seen that, but you know, who knows? Anything could happen. So theoretically, that would be an obligation, highlighting the fact that there is a relationship to a parent. It's interesting, it's not the one that we necessarily have been focusing on until now. But again, we also emphasize the point that there is a core difference between Pidyon HaBen and Nila, that Pidyon HaBen, the Chiyuv, is all about the relationship to the parent. And the Chiyuv only comes because the child has a certain status vis-a-vis the parent, one parent or the other, as opposed to Bris Mila, where it's really a very different dynamic. Then when it comes to Bris Mila, the male is chayiv in Bris because he's a male, and the father's chiyuv is simply because at the age of 8 days, there's not so much the son can be expected to do. Now, there's more to say about that, parenthetically, just while I'm bringing it up. There is room to explore whether there is something specific about the father. We didn't spend that much time on it in the Bris Mila context. But it affects the shlichus question and things like that. To what extent is it really about the father being mul his son? And to what extent is it something else? But that's a general issue that we alluded to. So where exactly does the Kohen fit in to this whole equation when it comes to the Pidyon HaBen? So you saw the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim about the question of the bracha, right? So what is the Gemara's question over there? And then when it comes to the bracha, so we know that the bracha on the mitzvah is recited by the father. But what does the Gemara have a safek about? Shechiyonim. Who should make the Shechiyonim? And what's the conclusion? The father makes the Shechiyonim. But what exactly is that safek about? And it's also interesting to note that the Rush in our Masechta, now you saw the Rush, and the Rush quotes a Takana that there was an additional bracha, a pretty lengthy one, that was recited by the Kohen, and the Rush himself doesn't get it. So what is the point here of the Kohen making a bracha? This bracha also does appear in the Sefer Achinuch. In the Shin Sadi Beis, in the Sefer Achinuch, he also talks about this mysterious extra bracha for the Kohen. So, what's going on there? What's the Havamin in terms of Shechiyanu? What's the position in terms of this disputed Takana? Why should the Kohen make a bracha? What's the Shechiyanu about? Especially to focus on that, because that's a Gemara, it's not the Masgana. But what's the idea of the Kohen making a Shechiyanu? And now we know when it comes to Shechiyanu, so we have Shechiyanus, Shechiyanai, for different kinds of things. So maybe we have a little bit of a multiple focus Shechiyanu here. That maybe we're asking on the one hand about the mitzvah. Sometimes a Shechiyanu is associated with a rarely performed or first time performed mitzvah. And sometimes a Shechiyanu is because you're acquiring something. So if the idea is the Shechiyanu for the Kohen, the Havamina is that it's because he's acquiring the Kesef here, then as Sfarim point out, that's a little strange, because first of all, Shechiyanu is usually for something a little more substantial, and that isn't clear that we reach that threshold with these five Sfarim. But there's a bigger question you could ask, if you just think about it. If the Gemara is talking about, well, the Kohen's getting some profit here, so you should make a Shechiyanu, then there's something that doesn't flow so well. Morning? Okay, I was thinking something a little differently. That's an interesting perspective. Yes, so Jacob?
Plenty of other gifts that the Kohen gets, so why is he only saying Shechiyanu on this one and not all the other ones
yet? Okay, that's a fair question too, I guess. And we'll have to figure out what the threshold is for when he starts thanking people. But there's something else that doesn't really read so well. You know, if we're basically saying that, well, the father's Shechiyanu was on the mitzvah, and the Kohen Shechiyanu is on his windfall, on his profit here. So then why is there one or the other? It's really two separate discussions then. So it's clear from the way the Gemara is asking it that there is a Shechiyanu that is for someone, and the question is, who should it go to? So it doesn't seem to fit to say, well, the Kohen, maybe he should get the Shechiyanu because he's profiting. So then let him make his own Shechiyanu. Sounds like you're talking about a different mechayev than the Shechiyanu. So it seems like the Shechiyanu was also mitzvah. And therefore, the question is, who gets to make that Shechiyanu? So that opens up an interesting avenue here. And it's interesting also, there is a question that was raised by some achronim, for example, the Prichadash. And one of his svarim raises the question, he's quoted in the Ketos and another svarim, as asking, would Pidgin Aben work Bal Korcho Shel HaKohen? Right, let's say the father decides he likes a certain Kohen, and he wants him to be his Kohen, whether that Kohen likes it or not, and he thrusts the five Svarim upon him. Does that work? So you might say, well, yeah, why not? I mean, it should work by the other Matas Kahuna. So it sounds a little bit like it doesn't work from the Gemara. So I can put this in the Marmar Kumos, I think. So maybe this is something that you could look at tomorrow, if it's some extra time. But the Gemara on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, one daf past where we got to in our first round. So there, the Gemara has a reference here to Pidgin Aban, the Gemara in the middle of the daf. The Gemara says, "Rav Yosef, Mana Minale Tanya Egel Zel Pidgin Bini, Hal Zel Pidgin Bini Lo Meklo, Egel Zel B'Chamish Shloim Pidgin Bini." It's not worth it. El Olam Afal Gav the Shavi became a Golkaisi Lo. All of the Shavi become the Kabbal Kohen Leve. So you see that there is this need that the Kohen is kind of playing a part here and agreeing to accept what is being said to him, and that probably is not the requirement. When it comes to Manas Kahuna in general. So, another question to ask here is, and I guess who raised this question, maybe Jacob raised this question in terms of the Shachianu issue, should we say that the receiving of the money that the Kohen does by the Pidgin Aban, is that just one more Manas Kahuna? Or is this really a whole different process? And another point to add to this, which I think you did see from the Makaris, if I remember correctly, is that you recall from our Gemara, I didn't put this on the Marmar Kumos again because we did it inside recently enough, but the Gemara about Matana Manas L'Hachzir and Avav Mebeis, right? The Gemara says that Matana Manas L'Hachzir would work for Matnas Kahuna, for Truma, but you shouldn't do it. Why shouldn't you do it? Because it looks like Misayeh Bebeis Agronos. It looks like that the Kohen is being made to work for his Truma, and we have an issue with that. We don't want it to look like the Kohen is working for the Truma. So that issue of Misayeh Bebeis Agronos, does that apply to Pidgin Aban also? So from the Rambam, it sounds like that. And that prompts another apparent distinction between Pidgin Aban and other Matnas Kahunas. So two things now we've got to figure out, two general things. One is, what is the Kohen's role? So much so that he possibly is a candidate for Shachianu. According to some, he makes his own bracha. And we're not sure if it can work without his consent. So that's one component we need to figure out. What is the Kohen's role? And also, why is it that it seems like there are some differences between Pidgin Aban and other Matnas Kahuna, as exemplified by this Havmina of, or this strong possibility that it needs his consent, and the Rambam's position that the issue of Kohen Siyei Beis Agronos is not relevant to Pidgin Aban. So there is an approach that some have. There is a nice sefer of Rabbi Eliyahu Schlesinger. If you're familiar with him, he's written many, many svarim of many different kinds. Svarim on Chumash, and svarim on Shavuos and Shuvos, and svarim on Torah, a lot of different things. So he has a sefer on issues of Bris Milah and Pidgin Aban called Eilat Divrei HaBris. So in that volume, so he has a quotation from the Panavisha Rav, Rav Kahanan, the one who founded the Panavisha Yeshiva. So Rav Kahanan explained, based on a Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos that I gave you to look at, that understands, at least according to the Rambam himself, that the idea of Pidgin Aban should not be viewed simply as the father giving money to the Kohen. But instead, like the Pasuk indicates, it actually is a process of pidgin. It's a process of redemption. It's basically a real transaction. And therefore, it's not simply the father who's doing all the giving and the Kohen is just a taker. But there's actually a bilateral process here. The Kohen is actually playing a crucial role in the process of the mitzvah. So if that's true, that could perhaps explain a few things. Right? That could explain why it is that the Kohen is a candidate for a bracha, and why he has to be a willing participant. And also that it's not simply like Matnas Kohuna, where he just receives. And he adds, in terms of the concern of Misayev based on Gronos, that normally the issue is that the Kohen is just supposed to receive. So we don't want it to look at all like he's working for this receiving. But when it comes to Pidgin Aben, already there is a back and forth. Already there is a transaction, so to speak, involved. So we don't have any additional concern that it's going to look like there's some kind of a trade-off here. So with that, you could consider a few other possible issues. So one issue is the question of the bracha. So the Rivash, do you see the Chuvas Rivash? That I did put on the Marmar Kosi. So the Rivash, right? So the Rivash has a Chuva where he considers a few points. So one of the points he considers is the language of the bracha that the father makes is interesting, because if he makes a bracha al pidyon, so that language of al we normally use to mean what? A mitzvah that's being done through someone else. And normally, when you are doing the mitzvah yourself, so then the bracha is liftos, to do the action directly. But here, the language of al is used even though the one who's performing the pidyon is the father himself, not a shliach. So here, the Rivash suggests that the issue is that it's not just shlichus that converts the bracha to an al, but it's also the fact that he needs somebody else to be involved. The fact that he is interacting with the Kohen, and the Kohen is also a crucial part of the mitzvah, so that itself categorizes this bracha as an al bracha rather than a lib bracha. However, it's still different when it comes to the son. And that's something that we'll maybe explore a little bit more, but when the son is posed to himself, then indeed he ends up using the more direct bracha of liftos. And here the Rivash addresses that also and says there's still a difference, that the father is still not the absolute protagonist. So he's somewhere in between. He is doing it on behalf of his son, but he's fulfilling his own chiyuv. So he's not actually a shliach. And he is somebody who is also requiring somebody else, so it puts him in kind of a unique position. But the fact that he's not a shliach of his son is shown by the Shechianu, as is also pointed out by some of the later Svarim, because the Shechianu is normally not recited by a shliach. So, again, this puts the father in kind of an in-between position, just to recap all the unique components of his position. He's not the actual protagonist, so he doesn't say liftos like his son does, but he's not a shliach either, so he does say Shechianu. But he says al, because he needs the Kohen as a crucial part of the process. Okay, you got all that? Now, there's another interesting discussion which may reflect a difference here, and this is a somewhat subtle point. There is... Yes, sir?
Why didn't the son keep the Kohen? Like, I understand that the father...
Right, so that's interesting. So apparently there's somewhere in between, that the father is kind of a quasi-shliach, but not a full shliach, because he makes the shachiyah. So really, he's doing his own mitzvah, but he's doing a mitzvah that involves somebody else with somebody else. So it's a little bit of a Twilight Zone-y position. And he writes that
the sun needs someone else.
The sun needs someone else, but not enough of a way that it takes him out of his. It's not an absolutely glot 100% chiluk, because it seems to be a convergence of a number of points in the father's perspective that puts him in between. So there is another issue which may be relevant to this. It's interesting. This is also discussed in the Eilat Divrei HaBris, that the Mishnah says in Bacharos that if you have a Kohen who creates a chal, say a Kohen marries a grusha. So normally a Kohen who has a son, if the son's a Kohen or a Levi, or the mother is a Bas Kohen or Bas Levi, so all of that exempts the child from pidyon hadar. It's a story that the Yaakov Kamenetsky has brought in his biography, that he went to a pidyon event, and while he was there, before the pidyon started, he had a schmooze with the baby's grandfather, maternal grandfather, and discovered in the course of the conversation that he was a Kohen or a Levi, I forgot which. So he realized the pidyon event is not really necessary, but everyone was gathered for the party. So they said, at 30 days old, the baby is no longer a nephel, so he convinced them to shove a party in honor of the baby's now viability. But normally the rule is that a pidyon haben doesn't apply to the child of a Kohen or a Levi, or even a Bas Levi and a Bas Kohen. So, but if the Kohen marries a Grusha, so now the child is a Chalal, so that's a different story. So the Mishnah says that if the Kohen has a Chalal child, so then he would have to be poda to himself. So what happens if he dies, the father dies? So the Mishnah says that if he dies after the Chiyuv already set in, after 30 days, the baby is more than 30 days old, so then it's considered to be like the money was a zochet to him already. So essentially there isn't a need for the pidyon because the money is already credited to the father. However, the Rosh says that this child should still be mafresh to five sloyim and not do anything with it. Just hold on to it himself. So what comes out of that Rosh? So it sounds like there is a mitzvah of hafrasha, that when it comes to the pidyon haben, that the mitzvah really is that the father, or in this case the son, should set aside the five zloim. And then it's almost an afterthought that that five zloim actually has to be given over to the Kohen. So here, since there's no Kohen to give it to, so that's the end of the story. But it seems like the Hafrasha itself, according to the Rosh, is a mitzvah. So the Marit Al-Ghazi has a discussion about this. Marit Al-Ghazi, I can tell you a story about that afterwards, has a sefer on Bechoros. I'll tell you a story now, everybody. So Volovsky likes telling the story that he and I were learning together, we were learning Bechoros, and I was working for this farm sale at the time. So they just came out with a new fancy edition of the Marit Al-Ghazi on Bechoros. So since I was ordering for this farm sale, I made sure to order three right away, one for me, one for him, and one for the Beis Medrash. And then we immediately popped them up, so the computers registered that they sold out immediately, and the decision was made to reorder major stocks of the Marit Al-Ghazi on Bechoros, because it's clearly a huge seller. So it's not as huge a seller as it could be, but Marit Al-Ghazi is a chashuv sefer on Bechoros. So he quotes the Rosh, and he mentions that some Rishonim disagree. So what's that machlokus about? So if you look in the Eilat Divrei HaBris, he suggests that the Rosh essentially is saying the other side of the equation, differently than what we've said till now. That the Rosh really believes that the mitzvah is on the father to be mafresh, the five slayim. And what happens next is almost technicality. As opposed to what we've seen so far, that the Kohen is playing a crucial role in the process. So the other Rishonim who argue on the Rosh, who say it's really about the Kohen, so they'll say, if you're not going to give this five slot to a Kohen, what's the point in doing this Tafrasha? And on the other hand, he suggests that the Rush is L'shitaso, that at the beginning we mentioned that the Rush says, why should there be a bracha for the Kohen? The Rush quoted that takana of a bracha for the Kohen and dismissed it. So perhaps that's again the Rosh L'shitaso. The mitzvah is not about the Kohen, the mitzvah is about the Hafrasha, and therefore that's not going to involve much of a role for the Kohen. And if the mitzvah really is about the Hafrasha, so then in that understanding it's more similar to Matnas Kahuna in general than the distinction that we're attributing to the Rambam and others. He also notes, Marit Al-Ghazi, that he said, if the Rush has this idea about Hafrasha, so then you would think this should apply in any situation where there is a suffix for Pidgin Abed. So even if the money is not actually given to the Kohen, so maybe there should be a din of Hafrasha nonetheless. He thinks that's how it follows from the Rush. But if you look at the Shulchan Aruch does not paskin with that. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rush, firstly, that one should be mafresh in this situation where the father of the Chol dies. But when it comes to Sveikos and Pidgin Abed in general, the Shulchan Aruch just paskins Hamosim Echaver Elohariyas and doesn't necessarily see that connection that the Marit Al-Ghazi was assuming. Alright, so we'll just recap because we're almost out of time. But that was what we had aimed to accomplish today, just to map out the relationship of the Kohen to the mitzvah. So tomorrow we'll go further about, specifically in our sugi again, the relationship of the father to the mitzvah of Pidgin Abed and related issues. Just to recap, what did we talk about today? So we considered the question of some unique halachos here, the question of why the Gemara has a havamina that the Kohen should make a shechianu, and we noted how it's not shaykh to say that it's the same shechianu, or it's a different shechianu, like for profiting from the money, that wouldn't really fit the context. And we talked about the Rush quoting this idea that the Kohen has his own bracha, the Rush didn't understand why, the Sefer Achinuch has this also. And we talked about the suffix of whether the Kohen has to consent or not, and the implications that he probably does. And we talked about the difference between the Matnas Kahuna in general and Pidgin Abed, and that question of consent, and also the question of whether there is a concern for Kohen and Siyeh of Beis HaGronos, and how the Panim Vizhirav and others explained that there is a role here the Kohen is playing, because this isn't simply receiving the money, but it is an active pidgin. It is essentially a process, like a kinyan, that he is playing a key role. And we got involved in the questions of brachos, why the father says al, and the son says liftos. We talked about the hybrid kind of role the father has. On the one hand, he's saying al, on the other hand, he is saying a shefianu also. And the Rivash's various points about that. And then we talked about the Rush's position on the Gemara and Bukhara's, the Mishnah, about a Kohen who dies after having left a Cholo, and the idea that the Rush has that he should be mafresh the slime, even if there's no Kohen to give it to, and how the Marit Al-Ghazi brings that as a machlokas rishonim, and how it's possible that the Rush sees a different understanding here, that the real mitzvah is in the hafrasha, the Kohen doesn't play so much of a role, and that's why again he doesn't understand why there should be a thought of having a bracha for the Kohen also. Alright, so we will stop here. Wish everyone a wonderful day. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning. And
today morning.